Hello, travelers. My name is Grace Simmons, and this is the Random and Wonderful Podcast. Settle in and listen to stories of wanderlust and transformation as you gain tips to inspire your next travel experience. The Random and Wonderful is brought to you by the Amethyst Palava Hut, LLC. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Random and Wonderful. Today, my guest is Shan Walker. I'm excited. She has a lovely story, and of course, we're going to talk about travel. But I also want to get into what she does and what she brings in a very beautiful and simple way. So, Shan, please tell the people who you are, what you do, and then we can get into your wonderful story.
Yeah, I love that in a very beautiful and simple way. Love a play on words. So hi, everyone. Good afternoon, evening, morning, whenever time you're listening. I'm Shannon, and I am the host of Your Hair Made Simple, the podcast, where we encourage people to embrace their natural hair with clarity, confidence, and courage. And so I interview people. We share authentic natural hair stories. I've, you know, encouraged and supported my own friends in embracing their natural hair journey. So I'm excited to be here today, talk about my experiences with travel, talk about my experiences embracing natural hair, and whatever else we get into today.
Yeah. So I do want to dive in a little bit because even though Your Hair Made Simple is like, it's not exactly aligned with travel, I think for Black women traveling, it is very essential to understand and have like a clear understanding of your relationship with your hair. And it's not just like an extra thing. So how did you even begin this podcast, this business? Where did all that come from?
Yeah. I think that's a great question. So it's funny to myself. I laugh about it often that I even have a podcast about natural hair, because if you had told young Shannon that she would be talking to other people and encouraging them to embrace their natural hair, like I straight up would have laughed in your face. Mm-hmm. So growing up, like I was of the camp of people where my mom started taking me to the salon at the age of like 3. Didn't do my hair every 2 weeks. I was going to the salon, didn't know how to do my hair until I got to college. And so it's funny because my natural hair journey started with a travel trip. So in high school, I went on a, if you're familiar with the People to People program, so it's like 20 days or so, different delegations. I don't know if they even still do it now, but different delegations of students from different like regions, locales would go on different trips to different countries. And so I went on a People to People trip right before, I think like my junior or senior year of high school. I think right before my junior year. Maybe senior. Okay. But I went on a trip and I was part of a delegation going out of Atlanta. We went to England, France, Italy. I think we went to also Monaco and the Vatican for 20 days. And so I was the only Black girl on my trip. We had one Black guy. Our delegation leader was a Black woman. But outside of that, like everybody else is, you know, white. And so I, going on this trip, wanted to have straight hair, being in high school, like being around like 16 or so, you know, that's the age where everybody's kind of like pressuring you about like what is the norm of beauty and right. Straight hair. And I was like, well, if I'm going to Europe, I want my hair to be straight. Never mind you the fact that I did not know how to straighten or care for my hair, because that's over my 2 week time limit. So I have a stylist who does it for me. I don't wash my hair. I don't do anything myself. Didn't want to have braids, wanted my hair straight. And so I went on this trip, my hair was straight, and I came back with the worst heat damage like I've ever had. And so I remember I was at a French homestay. It was me, two white girls and a Jewish girl. And we went to the beach for the day. We went to the beach, salt water, all the things. I also can't swim, so I'm typically not really at water. Like, you know, so we're just hitting all the things. So we go to the beach and we come back home. Of course, my hair is wet. We've been at the beach all day. All I had was a flat iron. And so fresh out the beach, we tried to flat iron my hair. And salt water, heat, flat iron, the whole thing. It just was horrible. I looked like I had been electrocuted. And for the rest of the trip, like, that's how I looked. And so I have pictures I look back at. And between how bad my hair looked and the pixelation of the quality change, like, it's really rough to look back at. And so it was so heat damaged. Like, I had to get a lot cut off. I was trying to recover it myself, you know, like just really growing my hair back. And then I went to college. So I'm coming into college, not really knowing how to care about my hair, like having this like relatively recent within the last year or so heat damage experience, and also not making money, because who's making money in school? And so I would beg my friends to do my hair over and over again. And one friend finally just did a flat twist on my head. She was like, we're just going to try it. And I went home that summer after my freshman year of college, and I was like, I can probably manage to do this. Like, I'm one afraid to flat iron my hair now. I can't really do it. I tried. It just never worked out for me. My hair was really thick. It wouldn't do anything. I would take hours and miss class. But I was like, I can probably like figure out how to twist. And so I tried it. I used like Shine On. My flat twist came out limp and shiny because it was heat damaged and stuff. But I just kept trying at it. And that's a decade plus later, you know, like now my hair has like recovered from that and recovered from so many other things along the journey. But even through that, like I feel that, like, despite what happens to my hair, I feel confident in my ability to manage and navigate my natural hair journey, which is something that I didn't have before, and which is something that I think is so important for people to have and to embrace, whether it's on a trip, whether it's a vacation, you know, or whether it's just like navigating your everyday life. But yeah, my natural hair journey started actually with a travel story.
But the trip, like, there's a bit of, I know we talk about like travel and how you build your confidence, but you were forced to go through this situation to figure out, first off, you doing your hair in an environment that was completely away from what you're used to.
Yeah.
Lessons learned, but still, like, what's come out of that is this complete like confidence campaign that you're on now. So,
Yeah.
man.
And
And I
this
can attest, your hair is absolutely gorgeous now.
is Thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, and I think it's one, also just recognizing that it's a continuous part of the journey. Like, our hair is a part of ourselves. Like, when we're going on travel, we don't leave our hair at home. Like, it's coming with
Right.
the it's on our head. And so just being able to think holistically, right? Like, I think that's really important, especially for like Black women as ourselves. You know, I think there's so much stigma around our hair, so many ways that we can care for our hair without actually having to care for our hair, right? Like, that maybe are not the healthiest choices, but it almost causes a disassociation, right? Like, between our hair as a part of ourselves or something that I just need to manage or that is difficult. And so I think really finding that alignment of like, this is just another part of me. Like, I just have to figure out how to incorporate it into my day or into my time. And you know, we're always not going to have the best wash day. We're not always going to have a lot of time, but you know, like, just figuring out like what we know we can do to like manage those things is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to get into this. First off, it's your first solo trip, but that also has a wonderful story within itself. So please
Yeah.
tell us about your first solo trip.
Oh man, my first solo trip. So, for my 30th birthday last year, I took my first solo trip to Hawaii. So, I have a bucket list that I want to go to every national park. I am like underneath 10 parks in, so we have a long ways to go. But I have a little scratch off thing. I scratch off each park. I think I might have done like maybe five by now. Hawaii might have been my fifth. And so, in Hawaii, there's actually two national parks I didn't know at the time, but I went to Volcanoes National Park in Hawaii on the Big Island, which is also called Hawaii, just so people know the state and the island, same name. And so I went for my 30th birthday as a solo trip. And to be quite honest, I did not intend it to be a solo trip. I just got to the point where I was like, I do not have capacity to even like plan for other people. And turning, it was really like a, I don't know if liberation is the right word, but like a choosing myself trip. I think that's like really what the trip was. And so just around, before I even get to the trip, just around me turning 30, there was so much happening in my life. Like, I had been laid off from my job earlier that year, like in January, and I was still job searching. My birthday's in September, so you know, 9 months down the road. So I'm like job searching, trying to figure out what's happening in my life. I'm Airbnb hosting and trying to figure out my mortgage and navigating those things. Like, I was dating somebody earlier in the year and then we broke up, and I was just like, okay, well, at least now I have these flight points, so thanks. I'll be using them to go to Hawaii. Like, you know, but just all these things like happening in my life, and I was just like, what's going on? Like, this is supposed to be a beautiful year. Like, I was planning either to take a friend or just like take somebody, but there was so much happening. And so typically after my every year, like when my birthday comes, I start planning for the next one. So I had been saving up for this trip. Like, I had, even before the layoff, so by the grace of God, I had saved up for it outside of the flight. I was like, I need to just figure out how the flight's gonna work. And then I got flight credits from a breakup. So I was like, well, thanks. We now have flight credits. So that was kind of the final piece for me. And so I was sitting there and I was at home like a week before my birthday and I hadn't booked the trip. And I was just feeling very sad and very down about my birthday because I was like, I love celebrating my birthday. I love like choosing to show up for myself. Typically, I'm at a park or doing something fun and amazing. I'm turning 30. I still don't have like my new job yet. I still don't have like all these other things. And one of my friends was just like, You know, Shan, I really think that you should book your trip because I don't want you to turn 30 and be sitting here and be sad. Like, there's no guarantee that you're going to get an interview or get something because you choose not to spend these 4 days, whatever, on your trip for your birthday. Like, there's no like guarantee that that's going to be the thing that shifts you. And I don't want you to just sit here and then like be upset because not only did you not take the trip, but then people just, it's not the birthday that you want. And so I heard her on that and I looked and like, thankfully, the flight credits, I think I maybe paid like $40 or $80 more, but like that covered the flight. I had like some credit card points. We love credit card points for travel.
Indeed.
Yes. So I had my credit card points and it helped like with the hotel. And then like what I had saved up, like balanced out and covered the rest, like rental car discount. So we're definitely used all the things. And so like a week before my birthday, I just made the call and I was like, I'm gonna go to Hawaii. And it was a very long trip. It was, I think, maybe 20 hours plus of travel, like DC to Atlanta, Atlanta, LA, LA to Hawaii. I didn't even realize that. And now it's kind of funny looking back, but that Hawaii, I thought it was the same time zone as California, I have to admit. And so when I got on the flight and it was like, I think we were landing 3 hours later than what I expected. I was like, wait a minute. And Hawaii's actually 6 hours behind the East Coast. So I learned that on the flight from LA to Hawaii. I was like, it's fine. We're gonna vibe. Like, I'm halfway there. Landed there in the middle of the night. I have my rental car. It's pitch black because it's an island in the middle of the ocean. I looked at myself and I was like, I'm a tiny dot. It's like, what is it? I always get this mixed up, but it's the world's most remote populated islands. So it's the most remote place that is populated.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I looked at myself on like my maps and zoomed out, it's just
Water.
like water all like I'm my dot covered the island and this is just water. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, I'm almost equally as close to Japan as I am to California. Like, where in the world am I right now? But I went and honestly, just no regrets. I'm so glad I went. And I did in that week of time, I had been looking beforehand as well, like, do my research. Hawaii was safe for travelers, safe for solo travelers, safe for women, which is important to me. Y'all can only hear me, but I am not a large woman by any means. And I was like, I'm going out here solo. Like, we have to just make sure all the things are, together. And so I went.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I had an amazing time. Like, just one, it's a beautiful place. Two, like, just the water, the sun, it was all very restorative. It was raining in DC and it was 80 degrees in Hawaii. I was like, yes, this is what I came for. And I spent one day at the resort. I did get to see the volcanoes and they were erupting. Like, in my brain, I never thought that I would go to the Volcano National Park and they wouldn't be erupting. But apparently, it's not common that they're erupting. And the eruption started, I think, the Sunday or Monday before my birthday. And I got there and I went on Wednesday. And so they have binoculars. It was safe. The eruption had calmed down a lot. So I could like see, you could see the lava bubbling, which was just a top tier experience. And then they have black sand beaches. They have a green sand beach. I did not make it onto the green sand beach because sunset, but I did get to see it. They have beautiful sunsets. They have sea turtles. Like, I just had the most amazing time. And I'm vegan and they had vegan food in Hawaii. So I got to like try some cultural vegan food. And I want to go back. If you can't tell from how I'm talking, I'm not in Hawaii right now and I'm very sad about it. So, I want to go back.
There was a longing in the way that you were saying that.
What? Do you see the twinkle in my eyes? I like looked off. I was like, why am I not there right now?
Anyway, so about that flight credit, let's see how we can get back.
Look, I'm like, there's a whole second park now. So now I have to go back.
There,
Oh,
you must.
he must. Yes. Random fact, one of the green sand beaches there's only like three or four green sand beaches in the whole world. And one of them is on like Hawaii, the big island. They're like a super rare thing. It's
What
like,
makes it green?
I don't want, research me, fact check me. It's like a mineral or something that like, great. Because the disclaimer, it's like a mineral or something that like breaks down. And so like in the beach area that causes it to be green.
Ah,
And
okay.
like, yeah, it's like something like that. But I got there and then the parking lot, it's like a 3 mile trek down. And so I got there at the end of the day not realizing because I was just adventuring on vibe. So I could see it from afar. But if you are listening and planning to go to Hawaii, plan in advance and get there early. It's like Mahana Beach. But yeah, so it was just cool, like things that I just never thought about, never thought I would see, like black sand beaches, sea turtles. Me and the sea turtles were vibing. They were napping. I was hanging. I just cannot recommend it enough. And I can't recommend like solo travel enough, like absolutely doing the research, making sure you feel safe about where you're going and like confident. Like I knew high level the things that I wanted to hit. And then I knew somebody that had been to the island beforehand. So I got recommendations. And I think those things were important because I could like fact check and verify that other people had been to them. But like after doing all of that, like just can't recommend enough the time spent with myself to just be. I had my rental car, I was driving around the island, and
Look at
it
you.
was restorative. Yeah, like it really helped me to come back, and like it gave me the refresher I needed. I did come
Yeah.
back to BC and it was raining again, and I was like, this is for the birds. But it did what it needed to do for while I was
Yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Before we dive into some more tips, I want to take a quick moment to tell you something exciting that's coming up. The Cultivating Confidence Wellness Retreat is happening. From May 8th to the 12th, 2025, I'll be hosting a transformative retreat designed specifically for women dealing with imposter syndrome and self-doubt. We will be heading to the beautiful, tranquil lagoon of Bacalar, Mexico. This is going to be an opportunity for you to recharge, reflect, reconnect with yourself. So think daily yoga, meditation, gourmet meals, confidence-building workshops, and plenty of adventure. We'll do kayaking, stand-up paddleboarding, and day trips to explore the area. It's all about creating a supportive space where you can grow and have fun. Spots are limited. So if this sounds like something you need, head over to amethystpalaverhut.com to learn more and reserve your spot. All right, back to the episode.
You highlight, like you mentioned, a few things that are definitely concerns I think that people have, especially when it comes to solo travel. The first one is, well, for women, safety, but also managing your budget. And you talked about, like, as soon as the year before, right? You're already planning, you're putting things aside, and whatever circumstances have happened, you already had a backup plan as far as money set aside. And then there are points and different things that you could use. And then being safe, like it's so necessary. I want everyone to travel solo. I think it should be like a thing that people do as a part of growing up. But being safe and actually doing the research, not to scare yourself, but just to be aware, because those are the things that you can learn, you know, as you're trying to find a particular place to go check out or seeing certain things that you maybe not are not able to experience here in the States, but you're actually taking care of yourself by incorporating that safety. So, yeah, those are definitely the things that I think it's a great foundation, especially if you're trying to go solo.
And I will also say this. So, like, I think I had done like one smaller solo trip beforehand, right? And so, this is the furthest I've ever gone. Like, Hawaii was really far. Like, I was far from friends, from family. And I pulled the trigger at the last minute. But I think for people considering solo travel, starting with somewhere smaller, like, so earlier in my 20s, I had a blog before I had a podcast, and it was called Wondering to Myself. And so each year I would just pick a different place to like different theme, like our bucket of topics to explore. And so I think like early in my 20s, I did Georgia's Seven Natural Wonders. I'm from Georgia. I was living in Georgia at the time, and it was just a way for me to like get out and learn more about my state. And so I would day trip, and sometimes I would take friends. A lot of the times I did take my friends, but like just starting to get out and get more comfortable with shorter term visits. And then when I moved up to the DC region, my pandemic birthday, I just booked a little solo trip to Charlottesville, Virginia and Shenandoah National Park. And so I went down to Charlottesville. I had my car because I was here, and I drove down. I spent the night over there. I booked an Airbnb. I think I ended up, my brother's best friend growing up lived in Charlottesville, so I was able to connect with them and we like caught up, but I didn't necessarily go in like knowing that or planning that around them. And then I did Shenandoah like by myself, like drove up, like frolicked to the park, had a great time, and then came back to DC. So like before you start on a big solo trip, right, especially just getting comfortable being out by yourself, like I do stuff solo all the time, like I just enjoy my own company, but I think it's important to get comfortable with yourself and enjoy your own company and test it out in shorter range, where then like when it comes time to go somewhere that's maybe far, like Hawaii is still part of the US, although not the continental US. My friends and family were not going to be able to get to me quickly. Like, so when you're going somewhere far, you like have built a muscle of comfort with yourself too. So I think for that mental hurdle, that's really important. for the like planning hurdle, definitely like doing your research and not being afraid to know, because I'm a person, I like knowing. I would rather, like, there's some things, like when I get to the park, I know, like, after I'm at a national park or something like that, I can just like bop around and see what's there. Like, if I'm walking a certain street, but like you want to know that your area is safe. Like, if there's any things to be concerned about, like what those things look like, especially if you're in a foreign country, like if something happens, like what are those processes that you would need to be aware of? All of those things are, I think, really, really important in terms of being an informed traveler and knowing what your contingencies are.
Yeah, I like it. I think I've had to correct something that I've been saying. I used to say that my first solo trip was to Iceland. I realized that my first solo trip was actually to a cabin in Ohio. And so Iceland's my first international trip, but it was something that I needed a break. I needed a mental break. And I went for a really quick trip. And it was that the area was just over the line of Ohio, but it was a wonderful experience to be able to just sit quietly with myself and just put my phone away, put my whatever tech away and read or stare outside of a window and just spend time not stressing and having deep conversations like, all right, God, now what? Or just,
About it.
hey.
Sometimes you got to get solo to get with God. Like,
Oh
sir,
my goodness, help.
help. What's going on?
What is happening?
Or sometimes you just got to go solo to bask in what he created and be like, all right, like you made all this, you're taking care of
Yes.
me. Like, let's breathe together. Like, let's just
Yes.
catch a fresh breath, catch a fresh wind. Because, yes.
Yeah, it's not just like you're not running away, I think, just to get away from things or you're not trying to escape. There is some intention, especially when it comes to traveling by yourself, and it can be so healing.
Yeah, I think that's really what it was for me. I definitely came back refreshed. I came back feeling healed. I came back, honestly, the people there were also super nice. So like I like got a free ticket to a luau and then they sat me at the front because it was just me by myself. So they were like, hey, like I know it's just you. I was supposed to be in the back center there. They were like, we know it's just you. Like, do you want this one seat in this front center table? I'm front and center. The performers are like right there, three people away from me, you know? And like people were very nice. It was a lot of older couples in Hawaii too, that which was like really cute. It was like, Lord, I see what you're doing for others. But I like made friends with the older like couples, and they would just be like, yeah, you should consider doing X, Y, and Z, or we come to Hawaii. Like they were coming from California, so they're much closer. They're like, yeah, we like do an island a year. And I'm like, I love that for you. I too, one day. Like they just gave me like super nice advice. They were giving me tips on like when you go to the park. So like even be mindful and wise, right? Like when you're making friends with people, like I definitely didn't tell, like there were some instances where I'd be like, yeah, I'm here with my family. Like, you know, if I'm like walking around the resort and it's at night, like I'm not gonna be telling people I'm traveling alone. So being mindful of that. But like also there were some people that were just very kind. And so like I got advice for my trip from them. They gave me recommendations on things to explore, maybe food places that they had tried out. Like they were generally like pretty kind people. And so like that helped to make my trip as well. Took my picture, took pictures with me. So I have like pictures of me and this like older couple at the luau dinner, which they're like, yeah, you're gonna look back at these and be like, who are these random people? And I'm like, I remember. Like they were super kind and nice and they let me
Yeah.
join their party. So like do your research, but also like be open. You have to be open, but also be mindful. It's a balancing game.
Be smart, but yeah, for sure. You should be open. And getting to have those conversations with people aside from the what do I do and being safe. A lot of people are concerned about being lonely when you travel solo. And I can't say I've been on any trip where I was lonely. Even if there was a time where I wanted some time by myself, like someone's gonna be like, oh, hey, you know, or maybe you're taking a tour or something like that, and you're meeting people there. You go to a party and someone sees you there and they're just like, oh, you know, come join us. But that fear of being alone, I think, unless you intend to be alone, I don't think that's gonna happen as much as people think, or that overwhelming feeling. You can feel lonely, but then you just engage with someone else or you ask a question. I found that people are generally really nice or helpful. You know, maybe they're not going to be your buddy for the whole trip, but they'll answer a question or two. They'll point you in the right direction, you know? So
Yeah. And even so for me, like, especially because I went on my birthday, like, they had like little pictures I took and somebody else was there and they're like, oh my gosh, it's my birthday too, you know? And so, like, you never know, like, what connections you can find with people that are there. And I think you can definitely think about, like, how much or little time you want to spend with, you know, with yourself or with other people. So for my first day there, I definitely, like, I was on the resort, I relaxed, I was by the beach, I met people at the luau. And then my second day, like, I had my rental car and the national park was about like 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours from the hotel resort. And so, like, I, you know, got in my little rental car and I drove over to the park, but I had my own plan of, like, stops and, like, I want to try this vegan restaurant here along the way. Like, I want to do this before I get there. And so, like, that I was really excited for. I think I had a good balance of, like, okay, I met some people, mingled with some people. And then I had like a day of, like, all right, this is just me on my big adventure, like the solo thing that I came to conquer, seeing this volcano. And then the last day was kind of a mix because I was at the resort still. I was headed back to the airport. I spent a little bit of time in the town. And so, like, got my tourist on, got my souvenirs. But then I headed back to the airport and headed back away from Hawaii. You know, but I had a good
Away from
balance
the
of, like,
sunshine.
I had a good balance of, like, activities that I think gave me both dynamics.
So now that you have done your solo experience and you traveled with friends, do you have a preference of how you travel?
You know, it's so funny because I was thinking about this recently, like, over my last birthdays, typically, because that's like when I would do a national park, like, near my birthday. And I did Hawaii solo. I did Acadia National Park with my mom. We went together. I did Shenandoah solo. I did the Grand Canyon with friends. I think it just depends on the circumstances of life. Like, I think every trip was really what it needed to be. And I think that's the beauty of travel. Like, every trip has its own kind of, like, thing. Like, my mom, Acadia was on her bucket list and I didn't even realize when I picked it. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like, mom, like, do you want to come with me on this trip? And we were able to, like, have a mother-daughter trip together, which was, like, I think maybe our first time in adulthood, like, not going to visit family, but just to do something like that. So that was super special. When I went to the Grand Canyon with my friends, we all needed that refresh of time together. And then, you know, Shenandoah was my COVID trip. And so I think it depends. I will say I like the flexibility of solo travel, of just being able to, like, if I was going with other people, I wouldn't have pulled the trigger in a week, right? Like, it takes so much more to rally the troops. And I think for me, like, in terms of my life, like, I'm always planning or doing something. So being able to, like, pull the trigger and just go do whatever I want is very nice for me because it's like a decompress where I don't have to think too much about all these other factors. I can just focus on, like, whatever I want to experience or whatever I want to do. But I always enjoy a good trip with friends, right? Like, if it's able to happen, then, like, I love the girl time, like, experiencing a new place together, like, experiencing museums, being able to explore and then, like, learn from other people's perspectives. Cause that's a bonus when you go with other people, like, being able to experience something I might not have tried. Like, I went to, wow, not the Grand Canyon, but what is it? It's in Canada, the waterfall.
Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls. I was like, it's literally only because I want to say it that it's, like, gone from me. But I went to Niagara Falls with one of my friends and we stayed in Niagara Falls, Canada, and we were near Toronto. And so I picked something that I wanted to do in the area and she picked something she wanted to do. And we ended up going to Casa Loma, which is this castle, like, in Toronto. It's where they filmed the X-Men series from the 2000s. They
Oh,
filmed a bunch of, like,
yeah.
there. And I maybe it was on our list, maybe not. Like, I think we had a list of things, but that's, like, the thing that she wanted to do. And then Niagara Falls, like, was the thing I wanted to do. And so, like, friends open up your perspectives and they open up your horizon. So I think it really just depends on you looking at, like, where you are in your life right now. Like, are you trying to get a reset? Do you have capacity to plan with other people, right? Considering those things. And, like, if the answer is that you don't necessarily have that capacity, you just need a reset and a refresh, like, a solo trip might be the answer. But if you're open and you do have that room for other people, like, there's never a wrong time to, like, take a trip with your friends. So I don't know that I have a preference because I've experienced both and I've enjoyed both. But I do think that maybe depending on where I am in life, I might lean more towards one way or another.
Yeah, I love that answer.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
What is a self-care practice that you have when you travel?
Oh, I'm a journaler. I am a big journaler, which is actually kind of a problem because, like, I'll have my suitcase and I'll have my book bag is heavy. And it's like, what's in there? And it's like literally books.
What?
The book bag is carrying books. Okay. Like, it's carrying my little personal journal that I like to reflect on. It's carrying my prayer journal that I write my prayers down in. It's carrying a book or two that I'm reading. It's carrying my devotional, probably my Bible if I have room for it. It's carrying this other like journal that I like to write little like odes or signs to myself whenever I feel like super inspired. So it's actually a problem because it makes my stuff super heavy and I'm like, off my back. But definitely, I love to journal. Like, I love to find a good outdoor spot. Like, if it's the beach, if it's like a park, if it's like a little bench outside, a little garden, like whatever it is, even if it's my hotel room and I'm just able to like decompress and sit and do some good reflection on like where I am in this moment, I love to just have that space.
Yeah. Do you ever share, maybe not your journals, but how do you talk to your friends about a solo trip or like reflecting? Like, do you guys have kind of those, not like a debrief, very coming off of my work day, but talking with your friends about like, how was your experience and what did you take from it? And do you all go back and kind of share those moments?
I think it kind of happens organically because that's just kind of like how I am. So one thing that I asked my friends on their birthday, and it's funny because they started asking me, and I've gotten this question a lot this year, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like not me having to answer my own questions. But I typically ask them like, you know, what is something that you're most excited for coming into this new year? So typically like asking, like a lot of my trips have been around my birthday, like when I take my really big ones. But even in general, like just coming off of trips and travel, like really doing that reflective piece, I don't think there's necessarily like a debrief time, but it does just naturally flow into the conversation. Because as you can tell, I love sharing details. I love sharing what I've done, like the things that I was most excited about on trips or like things that I think like other people really enjoy. So I like sharing those experiences, especially for solo too. Like Hawaii, I can't speak enough volumes about it. Like it was just, I was so excited for that solo trip. And even Shenandoah, like doing that solo one here and like in the region are definitely like two of my favorite memories. So I do encourage people, like if you can take the solo trip to take it, I definitely don't think that we should wait for other people to be available to do the things that we want to do or to live the life that we want to live. So I do encourage my friends in that space a lot of like, just do it. Like there's no need to wait. Like if it's a restaurant you want to try, like if it's a movie you want to, you know, like even in smaller scale than travel, like if there's something that you want to do, like there's no need to wait unless it's something that you really, really want to do with a specific person and the person is what makes it special. But if it's just like something that you're wanting to experience in your life, like there's no reason to wait. I think like make sure your money's right, like make sure it's safe, like make sure you're planned. But outside of that, like I think hit go.
Do you have a lesson that you've taken away from travel?
Don't try to cram so much in a day.
Yeah.
Don't try to cram so much in a day because you are already in a space that's unfamiliar, so you don't really know where you're going. So you can only plan so much. There's likely going to be something that happens that throws you off of your plan. If you're driving somewhere, like you're in a new place driving, that's already just risque. Like you don't know like streets, and depending on what country you're in, like that, you know. Driving looks different in different parts of the world. And so, like, I think just giving yourself room to take the things in because, like, you're only gonna, hopefully, you'll get to go back to a place, but maybe not, you know, right? And so I think it's easy to be like, oh my gosh, I have to like see all these things. But I think go in knowing what like your top tier things you want to experience out of that are. And then, like, what are the negotiables of like, if I don't get to see it, I'll be okay, right? Because, like, sometimes you just want to take in the moment. Sometimes you just want to like bask in like whatever you're doing. And I will say, like for Hawaii, like the green sand beach thing, I didn't get to see it. But in that same day, like I went to Volcanoes National Park and then I left there. And then I went to the black sand beach. It's like a famous black sand beach known for sea turtles. So I got to see the sea turtles. And then I left there and tried to go to the green sand beach. And by the time I got there, it was the end of the day. The sun was setting in like 10 minutes and there was nobody there. Like usually that you could like pay somebody in a truck to drive you down. Or like you have to off-road your car, which I was in a rental. So I was like, I'm not off-roading it. Or you have to hike the 3 miles. And so I missed out seeing the green sand beach. I got to see it from afar. I didn't get to go on it. But my main thing that I was not negotiating was going to Volcanoes National Park. Like, that's the thing that I came there to do. That's the thing that I wanted to see. And honestly, I wish I had lingered just a little bit longer. I'm happy. Like, I still got to do all this stuff. But yeah, just I wouldn't overpack your days. Like, just enjoy meeting the moment of the things that you want to experience.
Nice. All right. So before we go, I'm curious where your next trip is.
Oh, that's a very hot. This is funny because I'm actually am traveling soon, like, but I'll be going not anywhere like Abroad. I'll be traveling home. So I'll actually be going to Alabama to visit my dad's family and my grandma like the end of this week. So I'm getting ready
Oh,
to
nice.
travel
Okay.
soon. And
Very
then I'll
soon.
be, yeah, like literally I gotta pack. And then I'll be going from there back home to Atlanta. One of my friends is getting married. So I'll be doing the wedding birthday. My grandma's birthday is Wednesday. So like all the, it's a surprise, but she doesn't listen to podcasts. So she'll never
Okay, well, happy birthday, girl.
Happy birthday, grandma. But yeah. So like, I'm traveling home to do all of the friend family things. In terms of my next like a big trip, I know where I want to go. I was hopeful that I would make it work for my birthday, but like this is why we plan. We have a budget, we have contingency. So I want my next big trip to be to Denali National Park in Alaska. So that's the spot that I'm eyeing next. I'm still working out the details of it. It used to be called Mount McKinley National Park before they returned it to its like original name. So Alaska has like eight national parks. It's like the most national parks, I think, next to our tied with California. So that's where I'm aiming to head to next. So I'm looking forward to figuring out the details of that. And then hopefully one of my friends is getting married in Mexico. And then my brother also wants to take a trip to Mexico. So it's like looking like Alaska and Mexico are the places that are on the horizon for me. Still working out the details of those things, but looking forward to seeing how it all comes together.
Good. Good, good, good. Hopefully, we can hear more about these stories or your trips later.
Yes, always love to come back and share.
Beautiful. Well, before we go, I would love to know where we can find you. And yeah, share a little bit more about your podcast, your website, what's your socials, so that people can stay in touch with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So for my personal social medias, you can find me on Instagram at wandering to myself, and that's wandering WANDERING to myself. Some people think it's wandering with the O, and that's the name of like my original blog where I used to talk about all my little journeys and visiting museums and things like that. So you can find me there on Instagram. For Your Hair Made Simple, the podcast and brand, you can find us on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. At Your Hair Made Simple across all socials. So that's where we are. We are working on pushing out season three of the show coming soon. So super excited to be creating more content, sharing more authentic natural hair stories, and also like sharing more tips and tricks on how we can better care for our natural hair when we're out in the world living our lives. So I'm looking forward to bringing more of that content to you all.
Yay. Well, thank you so much, Shannon. I'm so glad that you got to be on the show and that I got to hear a little bit more about your travel story. It's amazing. Hey there, Grace here. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and gained some useful takeaways. Thank you so much for listening and staying until the end. Don't forget to rate the show or share it with some friends. Have a wonderful week. Take care. And remember, be bold, be curious, be ready to tell your story. You never know who needs it. Bye-bye.